You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 27th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, catching us by app, however you got here. Nice to have you along. I've got a question for you. Can the work week be done already? There is just something about when a holiday weekend is coming up, like Labor Day weekend or, you know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Parker Olson, we get to Wednesday and go, can we just be done now? I'm ready.
It's really funny you say that because this morning I was putting on my shoes and I thought to myself, oh, on Friday I can sleep in because we're doing a not
we're doing
live
a best
show.
Of. Yeah. Yes. I will be again with the daughters in town. We'll be, you know, that'll be the one day I take you know, just for us to do some fun stuff together. And so, yeah, I mean, our live work week only has one more day after today, but I could go now.
I mean, oh, yes.
You know, yesterday was as much as I complained about Sunday being gross. Yesterday was the polar opposite without the polar vortex or the Arctic Express or whatever the
polar
heck it was I was trying to say the other day. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I actually stopped work for a time yesterday afternoon and went out to my hammock.
Wow.
And hung out there. Well, in part because, you know, the grandsons were out there and my daughter, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time with them. I can't just be working here the whole time.
True.
But still, I mean, it was just perfect out there. The day made even brighter by the Brewers winning last night. And Roger notes on Facebook, the Cubs lost to the Giants out west 5-2 overnight. So the Brewers' magic number is now 24. I like that.
That's really low.
Yep. So it was a great day yesterday. We'll get Brittany Merlot's forecast about what else to expect for today and heading into the Labor Day weekend in just a bit. Coming up, it would be enough for leaders from education, healthcare, labor, local services, for all those groups to call attention to the damage being done by the Trump administration on their own. But imagine if you get them all together singing from the same hymnal. Well, that's going to happen today in Eau Claire. And it will include the national president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, talking about the important work to educate the public about the ways that we will all be impacted by Trump's actions for many years to come. Randy Weingarten is on a plane now heading to Eau Claire, and I talked to her about an hour ago before she hopped on her flight, and we will play that interview during the show today. Also, Wisconsin is the scene of a new lawsuit that is taking a familiar new approach to the impacts of a changing climate, and that would be the harm to children. We'll talk to Melissa Baldoff about these youth-centric lawsuits, what I guess you could call the literal cry of the next generation that wants all the rest of us to stop harming their future environment and health and maybe hand them a planet they can live in. We will, of course, talk about the closest thing the United States will get to a royal wedding. That would be Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce announcing plans to get married, and whether the veteran football player and the billionaire pop star can make time for wedding planning between his new NFL season and her new album release. Brittany's state forecast for today says it's going to be breezy today with a mix of clouds and sun. Our high today in the low to mid 70s. A west-southwest wind at 10, sometimes 20 miles an hour. She says showers are likely tonight throughout parts of Wisconsin, maybe a thunderstorm even. Lows tonight in the mid to upper 50s, a southwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Hey, along the way, if you would like to, like Roger just did in Stevens Point, you can give us your questions and your comments in several different ways. You can use the Civic Media app. You can then bring up one of the stations where you're hearing the program, and you can either use the text button or the voice note button and leave us a little audio note with your question or comment. And of course, we're on Facebook and YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. And you can follow what my team is doing over at upnorthnewswi.com as well. As for the Brewers and mentioning that they won last night, yes, for the second straight game, the Milwaukee Brewers jumped off to a 6-0 lead and still managed to make it a nail biter both times. But thankfully, they won both times. And last night, the hero was Isaac Collins, hitting a sac fly with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth to bring home the winning run 9-8. William Contreras hit a 2-run homer. Bryce Terang hit a 2-run homer. A lot of excitement, and again, had to have a little drama in there as well. Game 3 of the series is also at 6:05 this evening on several Civic Media stations around the state. And then tomorrow's game, the fourth and final game of the series, of course, on a getaway day, it is a 12:35 start time for the pregame here across the Civic Media radio network. But if we're really going to talk sports, Parker Olson, we have to bypass the Brewers and the Packers. We have to go right to the Kansas City Chiefs and whether their season has, you know, been detrimentally impacted by having a guy on their team who is a veteran player, but now is clearly distracted because he's got a wedding to plan. And if there's one thing we know about guys, is that we're always very distracted when it comes time to planning a wedding. I mean, we sweat all the details, and I'm not quite sure how Travis Kelce's going to pull this one off, but I wish him the best planning that wedding.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I want to read you a text that I got from a friend of mine, the commissioner of my fantasy football league.
Oh, the commissioner. Well, by all means, continue.
Important words.
Yes.
Travis Kelce just went down on my draft board now that he has a wedding to plan.
The people
are talking, and it's a big deal. This is going to be Travis Kelce's worst season ever.
This is or his best, or, you know, because again, Taylor Magic, you know, it could be, or he could really screw up and get injured. Don't get hurt, buddy.
Oh,
okay?
don't say that. Why would you say that?
Well, you know, break a leg. The guy is funny. Okay. First off, he's got that podcast along with his brother, Jason.
Yeah.
And I've also seen clips where he's mic'd up like at training camp.
Sure.
And I mean, you talk about loose. This guy, how much more loose could a guy be? You know, you're marrying one of the world's most famous celebrities who happens to be a billionaire. Life is good, you know?
And she seems cool. She's not one of those billionaires that I'm like, ugh. She's actually like, okay.
I have to say that, yes, I mean, obviously opinions on people can change, especially as they change as well. And I did listen to the full 2 hours, the podcast that the Kelce brothers do with Taylor Swift as their special guest, which was what, about 3 weeks ago, something like that?
Like that, yeah.
And it was downright charming. It really was. I mean, look, anybody can fake it for a few minutes of an interview.
Yeah.
We've all lived through that. But I mean, this was a 2-hour conversation that, you know, had all kinds of drama and history and feelings and everything else. And it wasn't like homework to listen to it. It was like a really good conversation. And you really liked the guys. And she came off as, you know, extremely likable. You understand her drive as a musician, but also her drive as an entrepreneur as well. And, you know, she had the right perspective when she said that she and Travis Kelce, actually, they have pretty much the same job description. And that is to entertain football stadiums filled with people.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, when you kind of look at it that way, like, yeah, they're both doing their job.
Yeah.
They both got their heads on straight. And so, you know, I wish them all the best. Yeah. There's, you know, life has no guarantees, especially when you add the factor of celebrity and, you know, just the show business world, the cutthroat business of music and of sports. They're both a couple of attractive people making their way in the world, you know, in their 30s. So, you know, it's not going to be all smooth sailing all the time. And yet I feel like, you know, as well as any other couple, they are equipped to, you know, weather the things that rock a lot of celebrity marriages.
This is true. And they have managed to make time for each other, which I don't know how that's possible.
In that case, the way they make time for each other sometimes involves global jets.
And, yeah.
You know, remember, like, flying from, what, Japan to the Super Bowl or something? And what, did he fly to Australia or something like that?
So, yeah.
You know, they do have the means to do that. But, I mean, that's how it works in that world. No different than there are times that I showed up, you know, someplace where Sherry wasn't expecting me, you know, to provide support or whatever the case. So, you know, everybody has their own little ways of bringing the romance. You don't need $1 million or $1 billion to do it, but they do.
But they have them.
Yeah. Yep. I just have to say, though, I did enjoy when the news came out somewhere around noonish our time yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I said to somebody, I said, did you hear that? I said, the internet just exploded. It just absolutely, it came down. And get this, the old guy here at Courier Newsroom, the old guy here was the first one to put it on Slack for our company. You know, we've got a little water cooler channel, you know, where people just put their random funny stuff or whatever.
Sure.
And there are a lot of Swifties. And I think all the Swifties were busy texting each other. Hey, guess what? Guess what? Oh, and meanwhile, I was like, nobody else has put this up yet. Really? Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll put it up. And then you get the, oh my gosh, wow. It's like,
I saw a video yesterday of a TV reporter was about to do a stand-up, and she was in the Iowa football stadium. And she gets a notification. She looks at her phone. She goes, oh my God. She's jumping around in the stands of the Iowa football stadium for like 2 minutes.
See, now that you don't want to be that person. I don't want to do that. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump around and scream. And look, even somebody that you would jump around and scream with at one of their concerts while they're entertaining you, that's fair game. But I mean, they got engaged. Let's be happy for them.
I thought similar things. If you're happy for them, great. But like, calm down.
In this big, crazy, often stupid world, we need these little moments. And in this case, because neither one of those two have given us reasons to go, oh God, what a jerk. You know, we can legitimately be happy for them.
That's true.
For at least this little moment.
And you know what? That's their point. They are entertainers.
Yeah. And I do what I said earlier. I'm not sure about how they do this wedding thing, because she's got the album coming out October 3rd. I know that because I listened to the 2-hour show. She got that. So, of course, there will be the obligatory tour that goes along to promote the album. He's got the NFL season. I'm guessing it's going to be his final season here. So, I mean, there's plenty of celebrities. They get engaged, and I mean, they stay engaged for years.
How much?
Or do they just run off? Do they just run off and do something quickly? Really, just very personal on Tahiti, you know, but something very quick.
My thinking is, how much of the wedding are they planning themselves?
There will be people.
Yeah. Yes.
And good for them. Again, good luck, kids. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You You can stay up to date on what we cover at Up North News by getting our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage. You also get our Sunday morning newsletter that focuses on political news, especially around Wisconsin. In today's edition of the newsletter, it's actually what inspired today's Climate Check segment with Melissa Baldoff later this morning, and that would be the lawsuit filed by 15 young Wisconsinites ages 8 to 17, the case being brought by two nonprofit law firms and arguing that Wisconsin laws that tend to favor fossil fuels violate the constitutional rights of young people to life, liberty, and safety. These are lawsuits that are happening in other states as well and in other countries. And in some cases, courts are ruling that, yes, if this is a constitutional promise that we've made to ourselves and to our children to keep the environment clean, then our state laws had better reflect that priority. So again, you can learn more about that in today's newsletter and a little bit later on during our Climate Check segment. Tomorrow on the program, it'll be Thursday, so we'll have Joe Zepecki along as well as Sean O'Malley talking about your money and the markets. Chad Holmes and Todd Alba will talk about what they're covering for Civic Media. Sharita Booker will have a rundown of some of the big events going on this Labor Day weekend. And then we'll also have a conversation with Kate Felton from Eau Claire, formerly of the city council. She's a small business owner, and she has a guest column in Dan Schaefer's recombobulation area entitled "Medicaid and SNAP Helped My Family. Derek Van Orden's Vote to Cut These Programs Will Be Harmful." So again, that and more coming up tomorrow on the program here, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the state stories making news this morning deals with the case of Judge Hannah Dugan. She's the judge in Milwaukee who's facing federal charges for the way she handled an undocumented immigrant in her courtroom who was being pursued by federal agents, again, in a local courthouse, and the way that she tried to avoid a kerfuffle in front of her courtroom. The guy was later apprehended outside the courthouse, but it led the Trump administration to try to make an example of her and file charges of obstructing immigration officers. Well, the case will proceed to trial, at least for the moment, because yesterday, a U.S. federal judge denied a motion from Judge Hannah Dugan's attorney to dismiss the case. And in a way, that's kind of good news in terms of, you know, strike one for sanity. Here's what I mean. Donald Trump currently has the U.S. Supreme Court in his back pocket. He appointed three of the justices. You can argue that all six of those conservative justices are right-wing ideologues. Occasionally, they have their moments where they appear to be more balanced than political. But by and large, he's got 3-4 votes that he can count on every single time. And it was this U.S. Supreme Court that said, in so many words, well, you can't really prosecute Donald Trump for things that he did while he was president, because if he believed them to be official acts of his job as president, well, then you can't prosecute him for that, which is fundamentally ridiculous. And unfortunately, there's not a Supreme Court of the Supreme Court where justices could say to those justices, are you nuts? Do you really think a president could like shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and say, well, I thought that was part of my official acts? Or in this case, you know, have a Navy SEAL team raid the home of your political opponent, or just the FBI doing what they did to John Bolton the other day. Apparently, there are no guardrails. There are virtually no limits. Well, Judge Hannah Dugan rightly said to this federal district judge, hey, look, what I did, those are part of my official duties. And based on, you know, what the U.S. Supreme Court said about Donald Trump, you can't prosecute for that. Now, the judge, Lynn Edelman, he was a former Democratic state legislator. So a lot of folks think he's going to be some kind of a liberal judge. He hasn't been in several cases that have come before him. He's actually looked at the rule of law and, you know, ruled based on that rather than partisan whims. And he looked at Hannah Dugan's attorney making this claim based on the Trump defense and struck a blow for sanity, essentially, and said, no, no, that's not going to fly here. No, he didn't say this. I'm saying it. He said in so many words, look, the U.S. Supreme Court is a bunch of chuckleheads, and I'm not going along with it. What happened here is not necessarily part of your official duties. Now, I hasten to add that he, the judge, Lynn Edelman, did not rule on the merits of the case on what Hannah Dugan did, only on this motion to dismiss the charges against her based on this flimsy blank check that the U.S. Supreme Court has given Donald Trump. So where do we go from here? Well, there is a chance that Judge Dugan's attorneys could appeal this rejection of the motion to dismiss the charges, okay? And that could tie things up for months. That's exactly the kind of thing that Donald Trump and others did throughout the 4 years of the Biden administration, was they appealed and then they appealed this, and then they'd make another motion and that would be rejected, but they'd appeal and then they'd appeal again. Then they'd make another motion. And that's why Donald Trump, a convicted felon, is currently not in some country club incarceration facility right now, but is instead making the Oval Office look like a joke with all of the gold leaf and trimming. And we'll get into yesterday's cabinet meeting at some other point. I mean, that was just a 3-hour vomit fest of cabinet officers falling all over themselves to, you know, lick his feet and talk about how great he is. We'll save that for another time. For now, we just wait to see if Judge Dugan does the same thing, or if it just goes right to trial and a court rules on the merits one way or the other of what it was that she did that day in the Milwaukee County Courthouse. We will have today's history lesson coming up and a visit with Melissa Kay from WFHR along the way as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love.
Welcome back to today's history lesson, starting with Jeff Cook, who was born this day in 1949, passed away 3 years ago, the lead guitarist and fiddler for Alabama, who of course has that hit and so many more. I guess, how do I describe Alabama to Parker Olson here?
It's a weird place.
No, where... no. Oh. The band. Oh. The band. Okay. they were like a Taylor Swift, but for country music. But so instead of pop, they're country. And instead of an individual, it's a group. But they're everywhere on the charts, and they win every award all the time, year after year.
And pre-social media.
Wow. Well, yeah, they just were playing popular music. And year after year after year after year, they'd win all these awards, and it was finally a big deal. Like, wait, Alabama didn't win any awards this year. It's like,
you know, in my head, it is like impossible to have gotten famous without social media.
I know, it's interesting that you said that. Like, oh, they did that without social media. Hello, Elvis Presley. Anybody?
I know, but it's just a. You know, it's such.
We
a
had radio
time.
Stations. We had newspapers. You know, I mean, we had things before social media. I know it sounds crazy.
It does.
But it's how it is, the way that we get into things now. I totally get that. It's all the little clips. For example, I would not have even thought of listening to that 2-hour podcast with True. Taylor Swift and Travis and Jason Kelsey were it not for the little clips of it that I kept seeing on TikTok and on Instagram. And eventually it's like it wore me down. I'm like, I think I like to listen to this.
That's how I've found most of the things that I like now. I think.
Well, I think you have to, because I mean, again, when we were growing up, you know, the way you found it was you only had 3 channels and you only had like 3 radio stations in town, and they threw everything at you. Yeah. And eventually you found out which things you liked and didn't like. Well, here The modern day equivalent is you got unlimited channels, so you just got to scroll, and something sticks out at you.
Yeah.
And I think that if Alabama hadn't existed back then and were around now with their talent and everything, I think they'd still find a way to get famous in the social media age.
And that's the mark of a good band.
Yes, that's exactly it. Somebody told me, I asked for career advice as a college freshman, and I remember him saying, well, you know, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah.
So if you're good, if you're the cream of the crop, you will eventually get there. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep being good at it. And I'm still waiting. I'm hoping to get good at this someday real soon. Yeah.
Getting close.
Let's see. On this day in 1955, Fats Domino made it into the top 10.
Me cry when you said goodbye. Is that a shame? My tears feel like rain.
All right, here's where, again, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'm again going to talk about another podcast that I listen to.
Oh.
A History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs.
Ooh.
And I say it because of this. As the host, Andrew Hickey, keeps bringing up all these different songs and artists like Fats Domino, and they, again, this is the 1950s, had to watch as over and over again their original music was covered by some bland white artist and went farther up the charts. As noted in today's history lesson, it reads like this: Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame hits number 10, becoming the first ever R&B song to hit the top 10 on the pop chart. It peaked at number 10. 3 weeks later, the version by Pat Boone would hit number 1 on the charts. And then he'll play the two songs back to back, and you're just embarrassed. You hear Pat Boone trying to sound cool, and it's sadness. It just really is. So I feel like we're in a better place now. So,
oh, yeah.
So that, yeah. Let's see. This week in 1964, Disney put out its newest movie. It was a live action part animated feature, Mary Poppins, written by the Sherman Brothers.
Chimney, chim, chimney, chim, chim, cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim, chimney, chim, chimney, chim, chim, cheree.
And of course, it'd be Dick Van Dyke, who is still with us, Julie Andrews as well. Here's where, I find out whether classic movies, how long do they stay classic movies? So, Parker, Mary Poppins, ever see it?
I have not seen it.
Okay.
I'm ashamed to say because
it's
a classic. I should have seen this movie, Pat.
No, there's things you should have been ashamed of. Not knowing last week about New Coke coming out and the big quit.
Okay, we're still on this.
That you should have known. I was not expecting you to know Mary Poppins.
I have had multiple conversations since New Coke about how that was a ridiculous expectation of you.
Of me?
Yes!
I don't think I can agree with that.
Oh my!
This was huge, huge. Coca-Cola had changed their recipe. How is that?
We're not doing this again.
Minstrels should still be singing songs of that. What a terrible thing it was. Anyway, so you're okay if you didn't know a movie that Disney released in 1964. That is totally understandable. Let's see. Roger puts up on Facebook. Speaking of Elvis, this day in 1969. Elvis's milestone single Suspicious Minds was first released. It became the King's first Billboard number one hit in 7 years. It was also his 17th number one hit and his final number one hit as well. So thank you, Roger, for throwing that one in. Let's throw in Tracy Chapman next. From her self-titled debut album, it raced to the top of the charts this week in 1988, in part because of a song you all know. Who did the remake now?
Oh, Luke Combs. When I was coaching for tennis, during college, I had coached during a tennis camp that my high school coach had been doing. And the remake of this song was very popular during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coaches said, you know, every time I hear this song, I don't think they say fast car. I hear fat ass car.
No.
I do. In the remake, I do hear that. Now that that it's been pointed out to me.
Okay. Let's see. There is I was just looking at a Billboard article about this that said Luke Combs says Tracy Chapman pointed out a lyric mistake in his cover. And Luke Combs says, I wanted to crawl in a hole when I heard it. And it's not that big a mistake. The song's final line in there, it says, we got to make a decision. And he's saying, still got to make a decision. Doesn't strike me as that big a deal.
I am not moved by this change in lyrics.
No. But again, the fact that Luke Combs could not have been more, praising of Tracy Chapman. You could tell he really loved her. The album, like I said, really big back in 1988. I have said many a time, I don't get the infatuation with the remake. He doesn't really add any value to it. I'm still not sure why it caught fire the way that it did, other than that it's, a decent song. And it did all right. But again, the original was on an album, the debut album by Tracy Chapman. It was number one this week in 1988. All right, let's move on to 1991, another debut album, this one by Pearl Jam, and they released their debut album, 10, in 1991. I believe that this was put in the history notes last year, and it would be Greg Bach that needed to tell me that was even flow, because right now you could tie me to an anthill and cover me with honey, and I wouldn't be able to tell you that it was even flow. Was the name of that song. In fact, here's how bad it got. Last night, we were playing a trivia game with our daughter and a couple of grandkids. There's something called Jackbox. They're games that you can play on your computer or TV.
Yep.
And we're playing that, and one of the last questions was, based on public opinion surveys, what were the quintessential top three bands of the 90s?
Okay.
And they'd list, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and Nirvana and all kinds of things. So they list nine different things. You were supposed to list the top three. And all of us gave Pearl Jam zero votes. And yet Pearl Jam came off as like number one of what people said, what is the quintessential 90s band? So I am not in the Pearl Jam target audience, shall we say.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess Nirvana would have been my pick out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's my wheelhouse. This next one is from 1977. This would be Jackson Browne with a live performance you can steal here on the radio today. This would be the title track from Running on Empty. And oh no, we've made Tony mad.
What?
How dare you not give Pearl Jam respect? It's just, I just wasn't there at the time, okay? It was the 90s, we had two daughters, it was nothing but Disney movies and Barney. I'm sorry, there was no time for Pearl Jam or Nirvana, anything like that.
Polar opposites.
It was Aladdin, it was Beauty and the Beast, it was Little Mermaid, it was Lion King. That's it. That's the list. That's all I had time for.
What a list.
Not Pearl Jam. I'm sorry. Getting back to Jackson Browne here, who is singing Running on Empty in the background. From that album had these live songs that had not been released as studio cuts before. It's just one of those live albums that really caught on. And it included The Loadout and Stay, which we don't have time to play because The Loadout, I think, is like a 10-minute song or something like that. But anyway, it was all recorded this day in 1977 at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland, is where this was recorded 48 years ago today. Jackson Browne and Steve Martin just put out a new song, along with Allison Martin. And it is a song, again, that I saw just on social media, I think on Facebook, and it's a song about getting older, and it's called Dear Time. And boy, I'll tell you, for somebody who's busy thinking about their retirement someday, I'm like, oh boy, that was, it's a reminder, time doesn't care.
No.
Time is not, concerned with you.
Time is undefeated.
Yeah. Tony with a response. Pat, where did you learn your love for flannel if not from Eddie Vedder? Tony, we're in Wisconsin. It's everybody knows I got my love of flannel from Sean Duffy. No.
Oh,
no,
God. Oh, no, I thought you were going to say like no. Paul Bunyan. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Thank you. It was an easy shot. I had to take it. On this day in 1991, as the Cold War was coming in its end phases here, the European community recognized the independence of the Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And finally, a sad item to close with here. On this day in 1990, 35-year-old Stevie Ray Vaughan died in a helicopter crash near East Troy after a concert at Alpine Valley. Earlier, he had appeared with Robert Cray, Buddy Guy, Eric Clapton, and his older brother, Jimmy Vaughan. So we remember Stevie Ray Vaughan as we go to break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You can now find Up North News on Blue Sky as well if you're looking for an alternative to the dumpster fire formerly known as Twitter. And yes, we're still on Twitter too. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all the social media joints. We are there, including segments like these where we get to have fun with our friend Melissa Kay from WFHR and WIRI, home of just the nicest little parking lot party that you could want for the station's 85th anniversary celebration last week. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I am excellent.
Wasn't that fun?
It was fun. We had such a great time. Thank you so much for coming and helping promote our party.
Absolutely. It was wonderful to be there. Everybody was so friendly. I've done a little write-up on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, which you can go read, but I can tell you I borrowed liberally some of the information that Melissa put in her write-up as well, which you can find over at civicmedia.us and on the WFHR homepage that you would find there, just because there was so much history. And I love that. I love history anyway. Mm-hmm. I love radio. So now you add radio plus history and Pat just gets to nerd out. You had all these old radios in there. You had all these remembrances of,
Send you those pictures yet.
Oh, that's sorry. Okay. No, that's okay. it was just great to be a part of it. And I'm sure the folks in the community had a lot of nice things to say while they came to visit as well.
Yeah, and we had so many nonprofits there that are regular guests on our show, and the outpouring of just everybody willing to come together and share the information that we need in our community. There's going to be more articles coming, I hope. I'm going to cross my fingers on this, but Pam Hilke, who manages our office, has so much history collected from over the years that there's opportunities for more history articles, Pat.
That's because Pam's been there since 1977.
Yes, this is true.
That's and there is a photo in your article and the one that we put at Up North News of her and James modeling the vintage jackets.
Yes, the shiny 80s jackets.
Those were all the rage. And down in the basement somewhere is mine from the college radio station, WUEC. Nice. There's one there from TV13 as well. That's what you had to have. You had to have the shiny nylon jackets back in the day
with
the logo. Yep.
I mean, everything's coming around again. So why not?
Well, sure. I could totally see doing that. So you could see that, all the newspaper clippings and the cookbook, because it felt like every radio station, well, the hometown full service ones had a cookbook back in the day, and WFHR was no exception. And in fact, that cover model from the 50th anniversary one 35 years ago was part of the festivities last week.
Milt Steele was the cover model for our 50th anniversary cookbook edition, and he was our celebrity judge for the staff dessert sweet off. I didn't win, but that's okay.
Yes, we can talk about that. What did you make?
I made rhubarb juice.
Well, Melissa.
I was a solid second. Okay. I was second in both Milt's voting and the listener favorites. But it's fabulous. It's something my grandma Ruth used to make every summer when we were kids, and I loved it. It's so
Does it have bourbon in it or something? I mean, what's the key to making it not taste like Reuben or like a rhubarb?
It has jello, sugar, and orange juice, but little tiny amounts. It's mostly just rhubarb.
Oh, I thought you were going to say little tiny amounts of rhubarb just so it can be labeled as such. All right.
But that's the cookbook we're excited about, and we want to get listener submissions. We have it on our website. Right now it's in the carousel, so you have to like scroll through the carousel at the top of the webpage to find it. We're hoping to get a static link that's just there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go there, you submit your recipes. You can just swing by with your recipe card, and Pam will make a copy of it for you. It's super easy. We want to just gather all the recipes we can for our 85th. Anniversary edition, which is in November.
And it's very unusual that, you know, again, because it is kind of an older station with the older radios and everything, it's actually not a copier. Pam puts it on a mimeograph machine and just rolls the little drum, something like that.
Puts the ink on it first.
And you know, it always smells so good. And he's like, don't stay in the mimeograph room too long, you'll pass out, you know. You've got some live remotes coming up as well?
We do. Our next one is the Downtown Grand Affair on September 7th. We'll be there all day. This is a big event for our downtown businesses to come out and open their doors and invite people down. Our downtown is really pretty with the bridge and the lights and the I don't know. I think old-fashioned downtowns are just, they're cool.
Mm-hmm. They are.
And then we have the Lights of Love in November and the Rekindle Spirit Parade also in November. So we're excited to get out in the community.
And folks, of course, are wondering, when's Pat going to get to the point? How's Lilu?
Lilu's good. We rearranged. The cage is now on the floor so that they can get in and out by themselves and I don't have to pick them up. They're getting used to the new space. They found a new place to hide. It's underneath a little table over there. So sometimes it's a find the Lilu because you can't really see them. So, but we're adjusting. We're working on things.
Well, that makes it really incumbent to watch where you're walking, you know.
Well, not in there. I do anyway, and I'm starting to get that because once they're out and about, I'm going to have to watch where I'm walking all the time. Mm-hmm. So I am cognizant of it, but right now they're in a little locked-in space. So.
Okay. No, that works out well. And how about your Labor Day weekend? Anything coming up special?
I'm going to do more sewing. I've really been getting into making these block patterns, and I'm still working on mine, and it's a uphill battle.
Like with a Singer sewing machine type of situation?
I have a Husqvarna.
I don't even know if there are Singer sewing machines anymore.
Yeah, there are. That's a big one.
It used to be there was nothing but, you know, and now
Brother, Singer, Husqvarna.
Husqvarna.
Elna.
I mean, them as chainsaws. I wouldn't sew with a chainsaw, but I suppose, you know, if you get the machinery just right. Good point. Yeah. Melissa Kay, you can catch her at 105.5 WIRI and 97.5 WFHR. Melissa, thanks again for having us out for the anniversary party, and you have a great holiday weekend.
Yeah, you too, Pat.
All right, take care. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Randy Weingarten, the national president of the American Federation of Teachers. Talked to her early this morning. She's on her way out to an event in Wisconsin later today. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.